Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be chatting about something. Well, you're hearing it all over the news. It's about budgeting. It's about the green stuff called money. Uh-huh. Well, we're going to be talking with Ornella Rose, her wonderful book, Moneylicious. And this is for the Generation Y, but I'll tell you what. It goes from A to Z. So all of us are going to be able to benefit from this. Ornella, welcome to
Thank
the show.
You. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, I'm delighted to have you here. Now, you really have a passion for money. And when it's not a passion like you want to go out and become a gazillionaire and you're going to conquer the corporate world. That's not what you're doing. You find money and how to utilize it and use it interesting. Too bad we don't have politicians who can't make up their mind about how to do things, something called a simple budget. But anyway, that's my 5 cents of political comment. Anyway, what I'm looking at here with you is that you really believe in financial literacy. Where do you think this came from? Was this some little financial super fairy with, you know, luminous wings that came over and topped you on the head with her magic wand and said, you're going to know this, kid? I mean, how did you get this?
Well, it actually started really from my upbringing with my parents. I've noticed that money was always a topic of conversation, maybe an argument, maybe a misunderstanding, and various other things. But money always seemed to be the topic, the number one cause of most of the arguments in our household. And yes, my parents are still together, still arguing about money. But, you know, my parents have immigrated from Romania in their late 30s. And mm-hmm. with that being said, they had to start all over again on their own, figuring out how does money work. A 401k wasn't even brought to their attention until maybe a few years later after they started working here in the United States, specifically New York. So living paycheck to paycheck, I've noticed how money can really damper relationships. Working also in the financial industry, I've also noticed how it can easily be spent. And seeing how most people, they make the excuse of they're not able to save a dime, but yet they haven't even taken a look for themselves to see where their most of their expenses are going. And so not only that, though, but I was also disappointed with the financial industry being part of Generation Y. I was hoping I'd be able to help them out, but unfortunately, unless you don't have $250,000 in investable assets, you weren't going to get the financial advice. So this book actually provides that guidance without the high cost.
Well, I had to chuckle at one of the people that wrote your foreword, and her name is, or it's Shelley Campbell.
Yes.
And she wrote a book, Zero to Zillionaire, which I think mm-hmm. is a terrific title. But she makes a comment, and I really like this. You can never buy enough cars, shoes, or bar tabs that will make you feel substantial and secure. Having a savings and investment plan and Moneylicious will guide you to true wealth. Why do you think that it has become so difficult for people to save, although now it's being stated that people are being more and more conservative? Why do you think it's been so tough for people, especially the younger generation, to save?
Well, including Generation Y, but also in regards to everyone else, you have to realize that once the 90s came around, there was a lot of growth as well. And with that type of growth, and then with a lot of the creative marketing and the enticing advertising, and even today with all the reality shows, a lot of the media really does impact. And also, in my opinion, I believe that most people really don't know what they want until they're put into an environment or situation, into some type of context. And what I mean by that is, all of a sudden somebody may want to have, they may have that desire to want to buy a bigger home. But why? Why do you need to buy a bigger home? Is it because the others around you, has that impacted or affected the way you're thinking? Same thing with cars. Same thing with the fashion, the jewelry that you buy. So I feel it's a combination of everything. Society around you is moving forward. You feel like you have to do the same thing as well. And especially with Generation Y, they have no idea what it means to have to save, because as they were growing up, they were basically provided trophies just for trying. And they never were provided the reasoning. I'm sorry, not the reasoning. They didn't have a chance to fail, truly fail at something, and then have to pick yourself back up and to try it again. And without having that type of adversity, you don't really get to enjoy the sweet sex, sweet success of the actual success, money, wealth, or even saving, you know, $200 a month. For a friend of mine, being able just to save that much is already some type of success for her. And she's not measuring that around what other people are doing. She's measuring it based on her own finances and what she's trying to accomplish and goals. So another thing is the fact that we don't have goals set to meet our financial needs.
I think it's really hard to be able to look at things with a very clear eye. I want to share with you quickly a story. There's a young couple that I know of that would be, I think it would be Generation X, I don't know, X or Y. But this is a young couple that did something that was quite amazing. The mother of the son was just astonished at these young people, what they decided to do. They decided they wanted to have a family, and then they had, because of school loans and just honest-to-goodness living expenses, and they had a house, and they decided what they needed to do. They really got down and dirty, you might say, with all of their finances, looked at everything, and said, look, the only way we're going to be able to get ahead in any way, shape, or form is to downsize, try to sell our home, and then let's look at what else we perhaps can invest in, like maybe a duplex or something else. They have two children. They're little right now. And then the wife said, we're going to get rid of everything that's in excess that we have, and we are going to get rid of our cable, believe it or not, cable television. They're getting rid of this. And a lot of things that we're cutting it out. We don't need it. When we're in a position where we're solvent, we can. And so both of them are working, and they are cutting out their debt. They've set a goal like for 3 years, and they are really being tough. And the husband is cooperating with the wife. There's no new toys. There's nothing like this that he's getting. And by golly, they're achieving it. They sold their house. They were able to get a duplex, and don't think they didn't go through privation. They are in some people's eyes, but they said, this is our objective. We've got to get out of a debt level, which was like $150,000 that was hanging over their head, because their husband went on with his education, got a master's degree and all this kind of stuff. And as we know, education is very expensive. But here's a young couple that really, like I said, got down and dirty with the dollars and just said, this is what we're going to do. And it worked.
Right. And they probably realized that if for a temporary moment in their lives, they can just get it together and just do whatever it is that they can, then later on they can enjoy. But, you know, I bet you they may not go off and get that bigger home once they, because obviously most people don't realize, and working in the financial industry, many people were getting loans, of course. But they were getting, the loans that they were getting approved for was probably too much for what they can afford. And a lot of people, I think, misunderstood that when a bank approves you for a certain loan, or a certain loan amount, I should say, it's a risk that the bank is willing to take on you. It's not that you're actually able to afford the $500,000 home or the $1 million home. It's just what they're able to approve you for, but you may only be able to afford a $300,000 home, depending on where you live. Here in Georgia, that's like a mansion. In California, it's not.
No, but in California, you get a two-bedroom bungalow in Burbank, if you're lucky.
Right, not even in Encino. So I think it's wonderful, and I think when people start to boil down their finances, they start to realize they can really accomplish it. And it gives a sense of confidence in themselves and pride, and you start realizing what's reality for you versus, again, what's going on around you and having to keep up with that's the environment that's around you. And I think a lot of people fell into that trap because there's no way somebody who makes $50,000 a year should even be able to afford a home that's, you know, four times their salary.
Very good
point.
They
were able to get a loan.
Here we are in a situation where our government can't even balance its own budget, and we've got to do something as individuals. And a lot of people are concerned. There's so many people that have lost jobs. That one big key, you say, is getting organized.
Yeah.
Getting organized. And let's break that down to some bare-bones steps for somebody that is listening here.
Well, getting organized all has to do with determining your perspective on money. And that's really what getting organized is about. And it's also getting organized with your finances. So much like the couple that you talked about a moment ago, I'm sure they got organized. They looked at all their finances, and it is doing that very simple step is taking out all those statements, looking at the bills, looking at what you spend most on every month, and seeing where you can cut back at. And what people need to realize is that what goes on with the government, it's out of your hands for the most part. You can't control it. You can listen to it. It's going to depress you. It's going to hold you back. You're going to get upset. You're going to have your opinions on it. Whether or not your opinions are right or wrong, you have to look at your own finances. So don't end up having it out of control. Get organized. So a few things that you want to do is to start looking at how much you actually spend every month and actually why you spend what you spend. Why is it that you spend $300 on shopping for over the past couple of weeks? What items did you buy? Was it needed? Could you have left that out? Same thing with food. I think for a lot of people, food tends to be one of their biggest expenses after their car note and their rent or mortgage. Mm-hmm. A lot of people dine out, and that's wonderful, but maybe you can cut that back maybe two times a week, at the most three times a week. On a daily basis, dining out, that could easily be $300 to $500 a month.
Oh, easy. You can go out to a restaurant for breakfast, and in many restaurants, your minimum that you might be able to get by with, if you're lucky, might be $10 unless you go to a fast food place, and there's fast food places that you could get breakfast for under $5. But the reality is if you go to a regular restaurant and you have your meal and then you include your tip, if you had a family of four, that's a minimum of $4.
Oh, yes.
And $40, excuse me, $40.
Yeah, I know what you meant, $40. The most important thing, also when once you've kind of looked at the budget, or not the budget, I shouldn't even say, you're really following your money at this point. And it's something even people should do, try it for a month even. Just handle your finances like you normally do. Spend like you normally do. Without maybe, you do a lot of maybe unconscious spending, a lot of people do. They don't realize that some of those sales are not really sales for them. It's more for the retail store, the department store to get rid of their inventory. But you do have to define for yourself why is money important to you. And it could be for many things. And I've even mentioned in my book, it could be maybe to bring power. Some people want money for the power it can bring. That's fine. That's your prerogative. Maybe it's to pay off your debt. Maybe it's to start your own business, to be an entrepreneur like my brother and like many other people that I've met. And you have to be able to identify your goals and prioritize them. So you need to know what your short-term goals are over the next year. What do you want to accomplish? Did you want to pay off your car? Or maybe did you want to start saving for a home, a down payment for a home? Same thing in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years. Think about those types of things, those medium-term goals and long-term goals. What is it that you want to accomplish? And that way you can visualize it. And when you reflect back on your finances or your spending habits, you'll have better control on your spending.
I was talking with a woman just day before yesterday, and she was saying how when she had her family, her son, her kids were always made aware of what the money situation was in the household.
Mm-hmm.
And she said when they were old enough, she'd sit them down and say, okay, this is how much money we've got, and this is what we're going to have to pay on the bills. And she'd lay everything out for them. And, of course, they weren't necessarily that interested, but she said, you need to know why we are not going to go to the movie, or we have maybe $10 this week to spend. So let's figure out what we can do for fun for $10 for all three of us.
And that is really smart. And that is what most parents need to do with their children. Don't be afraid that if you say no to your child that it's going to make them a bad person later on in life because they didn't get what they want. Giving them what they want or giving in to their wants and temporary desires, that's what's really going to affect your children when they get older and their relationship with money. They're going to think money just comes whenever they call on it. And you being the bank, as a parent, you really influence that mindset. So it's really great to hear parents who do that. And I actually remember my parents telling us no when we couldn't have an item or a product that we wanted or a toy or the newest pair of tennis shoes at $100 because I played basketball, so I had to have the newest pair of basketball shoes. But that wasn't going to happen. But the thing is, though, what my parents, if I had to say anything that they spent money on, was more on the memories and the experiences. So it wasn't so much the wants and desires. It was taking a trip to Europe, spending the time with my parents. We would go skiing during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so although we didn't get all the things that we wanted, but having those experiences with my parents provided us with a closer bond. And to this day, I have a very close relationship to my parents. So it is great to hear that parents are doing that, especially with the example you gave, because your child does need to know why today or this month we're not going to be able to buy you this and this because we have these items, these expenses to pay for. And even if they don't understand it, that's okay. The fact that they're exposed to it will do them much more justice later on.
Oh, I agree. Now, credit cards are just, they're a wonderful convenience to have. But we have gotten to a point now, the banks, for example, let me digress for a moment. If you use a debit card, if you go to a bank that you do not belong to, they're charging anywhere from $5 up for each transaction, an ATM machine if you wanted to get cash out. You've got all of these little charges that add up. And by golly, if you pay attention to it at the end of the year, maybe you've ended up paying a bank a few hundred dollars for the convenience of getting something real quickly, and all you would have had to do is maybe have a checking account instead of using a particular ATM card or whatever it is that you've got. People say, well, I don't want to have that. I want to just do things the other way. My goodness, there are so many ways that your money can slip away from you. It's just incredible.
Yes, it is, especially, we are starting to come into a world, into an era where people are starting to become afraid of the banks, and I don't blame them. However, unfortunately, I don't believe you can really handle your finances without having at least one checking account and a savings account somewhere at some bank or a credit union if you want. But you need to be involved. You need to have that in order to manage your finances. Doesn't mean you can't have cash at home with you. It doesn't mean you have to go out and get a credit card and spend everything you want on it. But you do need to have a bank account. Preferably, you can go to that if it's the credit union. Typically, credit unions will allow you to use other banks within their, other ATMs within their network without a fee. But you don't want your money to slip away, like you said, to $250, $3 fees for withdrawing $20 or $40. I mean, you're just giving at this point, you're giving the bank profit is what you're doing. That's all profit to the bank, those fees. So it is important that you don't do that because that does add up. And a few hundred dollars a year, well, you could have had that in your emergency fund.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that. We need to have some kind of fund available for an emergency fund, if you will. But saving, this is something, gee whiz, I can remember there was a time when there would be automatic withdrawals from my check when I was at work, and I'd have it put into savings bonds, or if I wanted to, I'd put it into a particular account. But what was nice is that it was gone. I never saw it, and I really didn't miss it.
Right.
It was gone. And it was just fabulous. And I think that is one of the best methods anybody can ever use to help themselves. And people that are in business for themselves, they've always got to have something put aside because you've got taxes you've got to pay.
So, right.
this is so important. You can't just get by on, and you don't want to put your taxes on your credit card, so because you're going to be paying more money than you should.
Right.
You've got all of these things. What tips would you recommend relative to saving?
Well, you actually hit on it, which was automation. You had it automatically set up. Now, I understand not all employees can direct your payroll deposit into a checking and then split it into a savings account. But,
mm-hmm.
hey, when it goes into your checking account, automatically go online to your bank account and set it up. And just have, you know, $50 a month at the minimum, which is $1.67 a day.
Mm-hmm.
So people can definitely save $50, and there's no excuse.
Give up that coffee latte. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. Or maybe it's the vending machine that you go to every time at lunch, you know. But $50 a month is definitely doable. And, yes, granted, it's not going to give you the 3 months' worth of monthly expenses or the 6 or the 8 months. I actually say you should have 8 months of expenses. But it's your building blocks. And that's the most important thing, is to start building on the habits. So as you do progress and you get better and better at managing your finance or even your cash flow, you'll be able to save more. And same thing towards retirement. But saving shouldn't seem like a hassle. We love to spend our money. And the irony, actually, is that even in my book, Moneylicious, I say it's okay to splurge. Go
mm-hmm.
ahead and spend $100, $200, whatever you want. But you have to have everything else set up in place, your retirement, your savings. You have to have a handle on your finances before you even have the right to go out and spend a couple of $100. So I agree with you. The best thing to do is really what you had already said, which is automation. And David Bach, who's one of my favorite authors to read in personal finance, he wrote a book on it. And
mm-hmm.
the whole thing was called Automatic Millionaire, but the entire book is just about automating everything, automating your savings, automating paying your bills, automatically contribute to your retirement. That way you don't really miss it, and that way you work with the money that you have once everything has been automatically directed into the different accounts.
I agree. And what I like about your book, Moneylicious, is that you not only talk about budgeting, and I know you had oriented this book towards Generation Y, but I think it's important for people, even older individuals. So many mature people today are finding, and they're in their 60s and 70s and even 80s, they're
mm-hmm.
working. They cannot mm-hmm. afford not to work. And this may sound strange to the younger generation, but believe me, I've met many of them, even if they're just working part-time. They're saying, we are not getting enough money. And for the younger generation, who knows what's going to happen to Social Security? It may be here, but you may not be able to get it until you're 85.
Right.
So, you know, this is something that it's shifting. And there is a concern that is there. And not every business is going to have a pension plan. Not everybody's going to be in a working environment where their employer is going to match, let's say, whatever they save. I've got a girlfriend, my goodness. She worked for a company for 10 years. They matched everything she put aside for savings. And after her husband passed away from, you know, a very unfortunate situation, but my gracious, she was able to eventually buy a home of her own. But
wow.
She, you know, she ended up having to, you know, there was a savings that had
mm-hmm.
done it for her.
Mm-hmm.
And her employer was just, it was wonderful, because if she put $200 aside every month, they matched it with another $200 into special
mm-hmm.
savings plan of her choice. But that may not happen for a lot of people. What about Roth? So what would you say to people? I know I'm just jabbering here, but what would you say to people when they're in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s, 50s? It really doesn't make too much difference. But just give us an overview of what you think can be done by individuals now, because for so many, it's so frightening. They just, you know, they just go, wow, what's happening to our world?
Right, and if I can just kind of expand a little bit on what you were saying before I mention what they can do, is that what you were saying is it's very, very true, and it's also very scary. And it's hard to think about that when you're in your 20s and 30s even, because, you know, you're living life, you're working on your career, you're getting married, so many other things. The last thing you're thinking about is what's going to happen in 30, 40 years from now for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's really strange, I think, is that you actually have to figure out how much you're going to save now so that in 30 and 40 years you can have money at retirement. Because as you touched on, just a quick synopsis, there isn't going to be any money for you if you don't do it yourself. That's the scary thing, that if you don't manage your finances and save, especially towards retirement, you're going to be broke, and it's really all because of you. It's not because of the government. It's not because of a company. It's because of you. And that is really, really scary, that you have to finance your own retirement. So the best thing, I think, especially since we don't know what taxes are going to be like in the future, open up a Roth IRA.
Mm-hmm.
A Roth IRA basically allows an individual or even a married couple to put money to the side, no more than $5,000 a year. And when you are heading towards retirement, starting at 59.5, you are able to withdraw money from it completely tax-free. You don't pay one single dime in taxes. If taxes go up to 40% in 40 years from now, you don't pay a dime in taxes. And only a Roth IRA can do that, along with actually another type of financial vehicle that can do that as well. But the Roth IRA is much more affordable. And the thing is, you actually have to qualify for a Roth IRA. People don't realize that. It's not for everybody. It's for those who actually make less than a certain income. It's actually just a gross income. So it's actually really important that you do open up a Roth IRA. Try to max that out if you can. If you can't, just contribute to it whatever you can, especially if your company doesn't match on your 401k. So that way, you also will set yourself up for multiple streams of income instead of just one.
Very good idea. And that is something that probably won't change. I mean, anything can change. But I do think that there is a different mindset that has to be looked at. And when you're having a savings and you want to have a savings, I've always thought having two accounts, one for the wild and crazy account, so you take the trip to Europe if you want to do it, and then the other where you know that that is money that's going to be available to you that you are going to utilize as necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is very important because you can have things hit you that mm-hmm. you are not expecting. There could be a health situation. There could be a car expense. I mean, a kid could knock a baseball through your window and there's no insurance to cover it. I mean, there's just all kinds of things. Life happens. There's no guarantee. So if you do have something like that available, yes, it might pain you to go to the bank and have to pull it out, but you say, well, that's what I had it there for.
Exactly, that's the point.
Like this. And I think that that is very, very important. Now, let's touch on insurance, because you bring that out in your book, Moneylicious, and I know we're running out of time here, but let's look at the type of insurance. And with a young person, if you're going to buy life insurance, what would you recommend?
Well, we're looking at a few things. Most experts will say, oh, go get term insurance because it's the most affordable. Yes, that's true. Term insurance is the most affordable. However, though, I actually touch upon all the different types of insurance that's out there so that young people are actually aware of what they are, so that way they know the best insurance to get for them. Now, for instance, many people may not be aware of the variable universal life or the equity index universal life insurance. To me, and having worked in the industry and reading about them, they are the pure form of buying term and investing the difference. And the thing is that what I said earlier as far as being able to access your money tax-free later on in life, especially at retirement age, this type of product can do that. Not only is it able to insure you, but at the same time, you can fund it, you have to overfund it, actually, and you'll be able to access that money tax-free as well because, again, it's an insurance policy. And insurance policies, you don't pay taxes on the cash value that you receive. Now, that is a little bit too much ahead for most people. However, though, I do introduce those policies to them, those types of products, so they're aware. So if they just need insurance for right now and they're tight on a budget, then get term. Get term insurance for right now. But if they know that later on in the future that they want to have a family, they're going to be getting a house, and if they're able to do this right with a variable universal life or an equity index universal life, that policy will actually do much better for them because the cost of insurance is going to be less when you're younger, and you actually are able to put more money into it if you need to actually stop making payments. That happens. You just can't make the payment. It has that flexibility. You don't have to make the payment. And so it provides that flexibility. If you want to put more into it, you can. If you want to decrease the premium payments, you can. It gives a lot of flexibility, and it's considered one of the Swiss Army knives in the financial industry. But again, going back to what I said, if you just are very tight on a budget, get term insurance because it is going to be the most affordable.
My guest today has been Ornella Groves. Her book, Moneylicious. Now, the subtitle is A Financial Clue for Generation Y, but in my personal opinion, anybody can benefit from this book because it's never too late to start working with your money in a way that is going to empower you. Remember, that's your job, so that you can have that sense of financial security. Don't worry about taking care of the world. Take care of yourself because it is going to be very useful to you. Now, her website is moneyliciousbook.com. That's moneyliciousbook.com, and you can find out more information. This young lady is a retirement planner with the Teachers Retirement System of Georgia. I'm so delighted that you were able to be with me today, Ornella. Thank you very much, and I wish you continued success.
Thank you. I appreciate you again having me on your show. This was great.
This is Donna Sebo. Hey, money is important, folks. Don't worry about what certain people can't do with it. We have to take care of what we can do with ours, and that is means that you have to empower yourself. Moneylicious, a financial clue for Generation Y and anybody else who might be interested. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And telephone lines are open if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the toll-free telephone number to call into, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. Of course, you have to call in first. And I like to know where you're calling in from, where, what part of the country. And then sit back and relax and just let me tell you what I perceive for you as an individual. And then, of course, you're welcome to ask a question about anything you might be interested in.
Quick like a bunny, I want to give you the lineup of the guests that we have next week. We're going to have a fascinating collection of some experts here. Poltergeists phenomena. Aha, have you ever had a spooky thing where a cup's gone flying through the air in your kitchen, or maybe things have been moved around? Well, I haven't had anything that dramatic, but we have a little character in our home that moves certain items on a chest of drawers in our home. Well, Michael Clarkson, we're going to be talking with him about poltergeist phenomena. Then we're going to be talking about playing the unified field with Carla Hannaford on Tuesday. Now, this is absolutely amazing. This woman has been working with kids. She's a teacher. But more than that, her understanding of how the brain works and how we can make a difference in the world, it's just absolutely amazing. On Wednesday, we're going to be playing a Best of Donna show because I'm flying to New York. Remember, I'm going to be back in New York City. I'm going to be appearing at the National Publicity Summit and on a panel there, and then I'm going to be meeting with clients. So if any of you in New York City are listening at this time, give me a call at my office and or check out the contact information for me in New York City on my website in my newsletter. But my office number is 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. And then on the 14th and 15th, that's Thursday and Friday, well, we're going to be talking with Danny Lyon. The color of his underwear is blue. Now, you're going to have to listen in to find out what goes behind that title. And then AA is Not the Only Way by Melanie Solomon. So this is going to be quite a week we've got coming up, and I hope you'll be able to join us. Well, let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show if this is your first time listening. And you might want to call in. Let's take this caller, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
I'm Danielle, and I'm calling from San Jose, California.
Oh, beautiful San Jose, one of my favorite cities. I absolutely love it. Okay, Danielle, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that is coming into my mind, I'm getting the word patience. I'm getting the word organization. Then I'm getting the word application of proper tools and resources. So there is a project, an objective that you are very much wanting to accomplish. And I want to tell you that it's not going to be real easy. You're going to be putting yourself in what I call a stretch here. But it can be done. It might take you two times longer than what you're anticipating. So don't give up what you're trying to achieve. Understand you've got to give yourself a little bit of elasticity. If you try to make it an either or, I think your frustration is just going to go right through the roof. And I don't want you to have that. I don't want you to have to go through that. So allow that you may have to do some adaptations because you're going to have some interruptions. And those interruptions are going to be out of your control. So whatever this is relating to, be aware. You want to give yourself elbow room. Maybe that's a better way of describing it. So that you have the flexibility for time, effort, and energy that might be required. Let's say you started something and you ended up getting a cold and had to stay home for 3 days because you couldn't breathe, you couldn't see. You look like a NyQuil commercial, and you just, oh, I can't do anything. Well, you're out 3 days, right? So you're going to beat yourself up. Oh, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. Oh, it's a failure. It's not going to work. No, no, no. You give yourself that flexibility, hon, and you're going to be okay. But you are a real goal setter, aren't you? I mean, my goodness, you really want to aim for the supernovas that are out there in the world and in the universe. And I want to say, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't beat yourself up if you find that your spaceship of objectivity ends up being redirected someplace else because there's a universal tsunami that comes along and flip-flops your airship. So it's okay. Just realize you're going to get what you want, but it may take you longer than you anticipate. What would you like to ask me today?
Okay. Well, I have an injury that I'm trying to get over, my right rotator cuff. And it's just been lingering and lingering, and I was wondering if you had any insight when that might be healed to where I can really put myself full full charge ahead with my work and things that I want to do.
Aha, uh-huh. There we go. That's the reason why you've got to be patient. Aha, uh-huh. There we go.
Yes.
All right, my dear. Your body. You need to honor and respect your body. And I would say work with a physical therapist because you've got to reprogram how your body responds to things. Don't try to go out and do Ironman triathlons. Just don't go there. If that's an objective, maybe set it for 3 years out. But you want to be gentle with your body. And another thing I would recommend is acupuncture and or some Reiki treatment. What you want to do is to be able to retrain your body because of the trauma that it's been through. First the trauma of injury, then the trauma of adjustment. And you need to ask yourself, how can I do things a little differently and be good to my body at the same time? Oh, I know, it's so hard. When you're trying to be superwomen, I mean, after all, Wonder Woman did it every day. Gee whiz, why can't we? And I'm sorry, but her uniform is really dull right now. So I just think that you have to take care of yourself, okay? You want to be sure that you're good to this body because you don't want to end up with a permanent, serious mess of scar tissue here. You don't want that, dear. Because then they'd have to go in and do another surgery. You don't want that.
Yeah. Well, that's very helpful. I appreciate that. Any insight that I could have gotten from you has been extremely helpful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I so appreciate that. That's a good comment. Thank you very much. Well, you have
all
a magnificent day and learn how to relax a little bit, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a magnificent weekend now. This
Thank
is Donna Szybo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Now, I've got a quote here regarding money. I want to share this with you. It was by Benjamin Franklin. Now, this is a man, if you want to read about somebody that's really fascinating in history, Benjamin Franklin was an indentured servant. And a slave, basically. He had to, that's what an indentured servant was. He had to work without much in the way of compensation to be able to earn his freedom, so to speak. And his story about how he worked with money and what he did and the businesses, he was an entrepreneur of entrepreneurs in his day. So he's really a good person to read about. But this is what Benjamin Franklin said. He said, remember, time is money. Remember that credit is money. Remember that money is of the prolific generating nature. Remember that 6 pounds a year is but a groat a day. Remember this saying, the good payer is lord of another man's purse. He that is known to pay punctually and exactly to the time he promises may at any time and on any occasion raise all the money his friends can spare. In short, the way to wealth, if you desire it, is as plain as the way to market. It depends chiefly on two words, industry and frugality. That is, waste neither time nor money, but make the best use of both. Things haven't changed. Mm-mm. Same principles apply. It is very, very important. So I think talking about money, for all this stuff that you hear on the media and the fear and everything else that keeps getting promoted, yes, we've got a serious situation, but you have to ask yourself, why is it we put people in positionings of responsibility of handling trillions of dollars, and they're like a bunch of children in a playpen having temper tantrums? This is ridiculous. You and I, as the average individual, are supposed to have common sense and do the budgeting, right? Why can't they do it? I know I'm on my hot seat right now, and that's okay. I just get so irritated. I don't like it when people will have these, what I call egalitarian attitudes. It's like, well, it applies to you little peons over here, but not to us over here. After all, we can do all these things. I know. Okay, I won't say anymore.
my husband listens to all of these news broadcasts and such, so I can't help but just have these attitudes. And I just go through it and go, they need to have some women in there that are really going to know how to balance a budget. For goodness sake, we have to do it all the time. I have just been enjoying tremendously all of the magnificent flowers that are coming out in glorious color here in the Pacific Northwest. And today we have got one day where the blue skies are out there, the sun is shining, and everybody's just ecstatic. It's amazing here in the Pacific Northwest. When the sun comes out, forget it. If you have a class or anything that you're doing, nobody's going to show up. Because usually we're out in our kayaks in our raincoats because it's raining all the time. So when the sun comes out, it's like, no, we got to work on our yards. We've got to do something. So we're out there in the sunshine. It's just glorious today, absolutely gorgeous. I have in front of me a magnificent photograph of some hyacinths. And, oh, they are so pretty, and they come in all kinds of colors. And Caitlin Robinson wrote a little poem, and it's with this magnificent photograph. Beneath a canopy of sky and light, hyacinths spill their fragrance, nature's bottle of spring perfume. Just beautifully stated, absolutely beautifully stated. And everything does smell so good. It's just amazing how, you know, just how everything is refreshed in spring. We've got a neighbor that's got red tulips that are coming up, and they're just this brilliant, rich red. And we've got daffodils all over the place, and they're happy little yellow faces. It just makes you feel good. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I got a spooky story for you, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But, hey, those phone lines are open, too. Give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Now, don't forget, those of you in New York, if you'd like to meet with me in person while I'm in the Big Apple, you're going to be able to do that. Call my office at 253-582-5604, or you can go on to my website, check out my newsletter for this month, and there is a contact number, I don't have it in front of me, for where I can be reached while I am in New York City. I am seeing people privately while I'm there. And then I'm on my way to Alaska in May. My goodness, I'm going to be one traveling lady, I think, these next few months, and I always love it. So anyway, let me give you this story that I think is fascinating. Every time we think we know it all, there is something amazing that maybe has been buried for a long, long time that comes up. Now, we're going to be traveling back to 1787. There was a limestone excavation done at a quarry in France that blew the socks off of everyone, and it was so extensive, they went down so far. Let me tell you about this, because they said it was a geological and a chronological impossibility. Now, they were working to procure limestone for a big job on the Palace of Justice in Provence, and quarrymen, they had to get so much of this limestone
that they gradually made their way through the rock strata. So they had these huge ladders. They just kept digging and digging because this was a humongous project. The deep gray limestone that they found was sandwiched between layers of clay and sand. Well, workmen were just working. I mean, they didn't care. This was just limestone. So they had removed 10 layers of rock. 10 layers of rock. Remember, they were doing most of this by hand. They didn't have any of this heavy equipment like we've got today. Now, they didn't see any bodies, but when they got to the 11th layer of rock, they found something very unusual. They found that the rock surface was covered with shells. Now, they had gone down 45 feet. 45 feet below ground level. Strange things began to show up. When they got to the 12th layer of rock, they found remains of stone pillars and pieces of half-worked rock. Exactly the same kind of rock that they were excavating for this big building. They kept on digging. They then started discovering coins. They found hammers, all kinds of tools. They were so old that the handles, which had been made of wood, were petrified. They found an 8-foot-long, 1-inch-thick, petrified wooden board. Now, what had happened, remember, this is way down, the board had turned to a colored agate and had been fragmented. None of the pieces of this board were missing. So they reassembled all of the pieces, and they were absolutely amazed. The workmen that were doing this job, when they put all the pieces of this board that had become colored agate, they found it was an exact replica of the board that they themselves used, worn with the same ridges and waving edges on it. What had they found? They had, without any intention, discovered a stonemason's yard identically equipped with the current tools of the time beneath limestone that was 300 million years old. I'm not making this up. 300 million years old and some 50 feet beneath the ground. That is something I think is a little bit interesting, don't you? Like I said, we human beings have been around for a long, long time. We were talking about money earlier. Let me give you a tip. If you want to save up for something big, trip to Europe like Onella did. Whenever you want to spend your money on something unnecessary, something frivolous, that you really don't need, but man, you've watched that television commercial and you say, oh, I want that pasta pot. Oh, that would be so neat. And you maybe fix pasta once a year. But anyway, what you should do is close your eyes, and when that temptation grabs you, close your eyes and picture the moment when you reach your dream goal. Include as many details as you can. Envision, if you're wanting to be on the French Riviera, get pictures of that, but memorize the picture and hold it in your head. And every time you get that urge to spend, say, I'm going to be on the Riviera. I'm going to be sunbathing. I'm just going to be having this marvelous experience here. And you know what? Brain scan studies done in Germany reveal that this trick activates the area of your brain that triggers patience and squashes the urge for instant gratification. So they say it's a lot easier to curb your spending and save for that more rewarding long-term goal. Not a bad exercise, you think? This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is meant to be lived. Don't be intimidated, and don't be fearful. Life is full of changes. Remember, you're in charge of what's going into your pocketbook and how you want to spend it, and or your wallet, so you want to be sure that you make choices that are right for you. Don't be afraid. Life is for the living. It is not something to be fearful of. Move forward, dream big, and save those dollars. This is Donna Sebo. Have a fabulous weekend. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.